Hello and welcome to the podcast Escape to the Jersey Cape, brought to you by the Cape May County, New Jersey Department of Tourism. I'm your host, Cleve Bryan, here to help you discover new and exciting things at the Jersey Cape. And so the theme for this edition is Black History Month. Of course, it's a very important time of our calendar in February when we celebrate the accomplishments, the contributions of African Americans in America. Specifically, we want to talk today about the contributions at the Jersey Cape. And it's very exciting because we do have a very rich history with one of the most important people in American history as far as Black history and the abolitionist movement. I'm talking about Harriet Tubman and her relationship to Cape May. So I want to welcome our guest. We have Cynthia Mullick, who is the executive director of the Harriet Tubman Museum. And we also have Linda Anderson Towns, the president of the museum. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
So Cynthia, let's start with you. Explain to us how the museum came to be, because it's so new and a lot of people really didn't get a chance to check it out because unfortunately it opened during a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. This museum is the culmination of an incredible community effort to preserve and explore and rejoice in our community's history, and in particular the African American community's history in Cape May. The museum itself is housed in the historic parsonage of the Macedonia Baptist Church. This is a building called the Howell House, and the Howell House has been the parsonage for the church for the whole life of the church, until the pastor at the time, Reverend Robert Davis, moved out with his family. He was the pastor here for 47 years. And from that moment forward, it sat vacant and became severely dilapidated. It was actually on the list of most endangered historic sites in 2012 from Preservation New Jersey. And it looked like it might not be preserved or restored. It was kind of falling into a pretty dilapidated state. And the community, you know, there were these plans. It's a very important part of town. It's one of the oldest buildings in town. There was the potential that it was going to be redeveloped. And this is about 2 years ago, the community came together and said that the history here is far too important to let it just pass away. And so as a community effort with the church and the founders of the museum came together and said, let's create a cultural heritage site out of this space. And at the same time, as we had so many volunteers leading the preservation effort, we also had so many volunteers digging into the history and finding all of these incredible details about not just Harriet Tubman, but so many other of the abolitionist activists who were here in the 1840s and 1850s fighting the struggle for freedom and working with the Underground Railroad community and escaped enslaved people who found freedom on Cape May's shores. So it's been, you know, a culmination of so many different aspects, the preservation aspect, embracing the community and going through this effort of researching and bringing up all of this history that is so important, not just to Cape May and New Jersey, but to American history.
Linda, for those who are really surprised to hear that Harriet Tubman had a presence in Cape May, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think that's that as a Cape May resident and an African American Cape May resident, we are learning just as much as probably everyone else that Harriet Tubman did spend time in Cape May working as a cook and trying to earn money for many of her trips, taking people from Maryland over to New Jersey and eventually to Pennsylvania. And we estimated to be about 2 years of times, maybe three, in her movement of working here in the summer, really pretty much like what we did. Many people came to Cape May and, you know, got summer money for various reasons. And Harriet Tubman's happened to be able to finance many of her journeys bringing enslaved people to freedom. And we think probably connecting with many of the other abolitionists that happened to be in Cape May during the 1850s at that time as well. So we get to share that history. It's not well known. It's not even well known to many of us who were born and raised here as African-American and not. So it really is enlightening for not just a visitor, but for the residents as well. Again, I share that as children, we heard our grandmothers say that Harriet Tubman, and you know, they tell it in stories, usually the oral tradition, so there's not documentation for the historians per se, but they often said that Harriet Tubman was in Cape May and that there were different homes in Cape May, specifically in the African-American community and also in the Point and other areas, that there were places that enslaved people were hidden. So we're learning a lot of this and then trying to share that with those who come and enter in the Harriet Tubman Museum. You know, the story connects to Stephen Smith, William Still, a lot of other historical figures in the Underground Railroad. And we try to share pieces of that as well in the Harriet Tubman Museum.
Yeah, I think it's not just fascinating, but it really becomes a point of pride for people that live at the shore, especially for the African-American community, and just for any visitors. Yes. I mean, we all have our reason yes. why we love the Jersey Shore, the Jersey Cape, but this is just like, it's so rich, you know, hearing about Harriet Tubman going and working in the summer like so many of us did. I mean, I was a lifeguard on the beach, and I think I saved my money to pay for my car insurance. And here yes. she is. Yeah. springing, you know, freed slaves and helping them get safe passage, you know, to the free states. Tell me about some of the research, and maybe this is a question for either one of you ladies, that really started to bring to light the fact that you'd be able to actually have a museum and have enough to go from that oral tradition history to something that, you know, people could take a look at objectively and really understand and get to know their past better.
The history is so rich, there is absolutely no way to fit it into this museum. The museum's footprint is about 1,600 square feet, and we call it the small museum with a big story. It's remarkable. We can document that Harriet Tubman was here in 1852, working as a domestic and a cook. In order, as you said, to earn those funds that she used to help freedom seekers find their way to freedom. But at the same time, right across the street from the museum was Stephen Smith's house. He was one of the richest Black men in the US, but he was born a slave. He worked a number of side jobs and was able to save and negotiate his own freedom. But he was so entrepreneurial and remarkable. He started a lumber and coal company with locomotives for transportation. So there was not only the Underground Railroad, but his component was actually an above ground railroad as well. He was very active in the abolitionist movement. And because he was right here on what we call Freedom's Corner, where he built his summer house, he also built next door. He was a partner in the Banneker Hotel that was built right next to his house, again, on this same intersection where the museum sits. We have the Franklin Street School behind us was the segregated school. There's so much richness on this corner, not just to Cape May's history, not just to New Jersey's history. We've now, when we did have our official ribbon cutting in September, Governor Murphy came down and declared that this is the official Harriet Tubman Museum of New Jersey. So we are inclusive of all of New Jersey's history as well. But this is actually so important to all of American history.
And we take that opportunity to also tie it to many figures that we identify in our African-American community as being and showing courageous lives as well. In the Legacy Room, we have many of our African-American residents who made a difference in Cape May County. So we didn't want to just keep it to what Harriet Tubman did, even what Stephen Smith did. We wanted to also recognize many African-Americans that were instrumental in making Cape May the Cape May it is that everybody wants to visit today. Hence, we have an area where our timeline starts from the 1800s. It even goes through the section where we have our African-American lifeguards that at one point, all of my brothers were lifeguards. Today, there are no African-American lifeguards, but we were really very, very fortunate to have Cape May Beach Patrol give us pictures of their African-American lifeguards that they had quite a few during the 50s and 60s. So we take that time too to kind of segue from Harriet Tubman to say, yes, she made a difference. Yeah, but there were many African-American residents in Cape May that made a difference as well.
Yeah, how does this museum really give a voice to the African-American community that to a lot of outsiders may not even know it exists to some degree in Cape May County, because it's just not as visible, you know, as we may see in the Atlantic City, Pleasantville area or other parts of the shore?
Absolutely. Many people come to Cape May don't even realize that African-Americans live in Cape May. I mean, that's how it's been changed so much through the years. Of course, it grieves us as African-American residents. We feel very sad when we look at Cape May, and we grew up in a Cape May that had almost 30% African-American families, and we've since seen them disappear. So we see this museum from a sort of different light. We see it as a chance to remind Cape May that we were here, and not only was Harriet Tubman here, but we were here. And so it actually has a third story to it, and we're very proud of it because it memorializes it. And it reminds Cape May that, you know, it wasn't just built on the Victorian image, but, you know, that we played a great part in making it be a place to come and visit today. And so the timeline picks up many, many African-Americans, including a time where the city made a decision to destroy many of the African-American houses through what we call urban renewal. But it also speaks to today's climate, where it is so expensive to live in Cape May. That too has removed many of the African-American residents. We call that financial removal. But we don't, you know, we take on those heavy topics too to say, you know, but we were here. And so so it has a lot of really cool facets to this museum that, yes, it does include Harriet Tubman. Yes, it does include Stephen Smith. But it also includes Amelia Hampton, who owns the Stephen Smith House and wrote to President Lyndon Johnson to say, please don't let them destroy our house. It's historical. A lot of really relevant and fascinating stories in our small museum with a big story.
Yeah, I think of, you know, just this month in general is a time where we reflect, because we also need to better understand the present, you know, by knowing our past more. And this is just such a wonderful opportunity for people to learn about a very specific community, you know, the Black community of Cape May, Cape May County. Let's talk about 2021. I mean, it's always the big question. What's it going to look like this year? What are your hopes for the museum this year? You know, maybe as some restrictions are lifted with the pandemic, and then also as this continues to be an evolving project.
Well, it's such a strange time to be opening a public institution like a museum. Very complicated. We were originally aiming to open Juneteenth of 2020. And we did have a virtual event, a virtual opening then. We've been able to have small groups in for kind of a sneak preview type of an encounter with the museum. We are really eager to share all of this education and these incredible stories of, you know, from the 1800s through today, and all of this representation and these remarkable figures in Cape May and in New Jersey. But as difficult as the pandemic has been, we've really been able to connect with a lot of different communities, I guess, in the same way that we're connecting right now through podcasts, through virtual tours, through public figures who've been interested in the museum and gotten involved that way. So in a sense, I think if we had opened in 2020 and life had gone on as normal, maybe this would just be kind of the geographic, you know, the Cape May Regional Museum. But because there wasn't that bind of geography this year, so many people from across the country, so many classrooms have gotten interested across the world, really. We've got a lot of followers that aren't restricted by the boundaries of geography. So now that we're in that position, you know, we're really looking forward to what 2021 brings, being able to actually have people immersed in the space, but also we're looking toward developing all kinds of virtual programming, working with classrooms around the country and around the world, and growing our audience for these remarkable stories.
I think it adds to it that because the museum is on the main street of Cape May, when you come into the island, come onto the island, it just attracts, you know, it just catches your attention because you look and there it is, the Harriet Tubman Museum. The second part of it is, even in our soft opening, as soon as you turn on the lights in this museum, you have people at the door. I mean, it is the most incredibly difficult thing. Because of course we have space and we have to be spaced, and then we have to be cautious with COVID to turn away so many people who just, you know, and they'll say, we've come for hours to see the museum. Can you just, so I always say when I come down to do even a tour that is scheduled, I end up being here like 6 hours because I just can't say no to someone else who comes in and says, oh, but we'll come back an hour later. As soon as you turn on the lights, it just draws everyone, you know, is there any way we can get in? And so it's a challenge. It is, it will be, I think 2021 will probably take a lot of space in our lives. We'll be a lot of thinking of how will we accommodate so many people who just want to come in and see the museum and hear the stories and spend some time here.
Linda, what would it mean to you? Or what does it mean to you now to have a real magnet to bring African-American tourism to Cape May?
Well, I Maya Angelou says that you stand on the shoulders of many. And so I had a committee that I work with, the church ladies. If you work with the church ladies, they all have their say. They're going to have their say until forever. So I always know I stand in their space. And standing in their space means that I need to always remember that there's every voice matters. And what I am trying to share, and I know that the committee was trying to share is their authentic voice. And people can tell a story. It is not the same as being the story. And that is what even the entire Black Lives Matter movement is about. You can tell my story, but you cannot be my story. So this is a chance to put that representation of the story in its true authentic piece. And they're not so pretty, but it doesn't mean that we don't tell it. We still tell the story. And that still makes us a better person, even for listening and trying to understand. Why aren't the African-American lifeguards there anymore? Why do we still wish there were, you know, the beach is for the African-Americans, you know, that's still conversation that is relevant today. And this museum and the legacy that it brings, brings some really great healing conversation. And that's what we're trying to do as a nation. And that's what I feel as one of the African-American residents here. I would be considered one of the youngins because there's the church ladies remember when I was born, but I still feel like I have to give them their voices. And that's, I only stand in that space of trying to facilitate the real voice, the real story, the be there.
And Cynthia, if people are...
how we've already seen this incredible increase in diversity in the tourism that is attracted to Cape May, in the people who are reaching out to us and so excited to come visit the museum. Even last summer, even though it was such a strange pandemic summer and not quite as much travel and openings, closings, we saw, you know, we met so many people. I met leaders of the NAACP in Brooklyn who came because they heard and hadn't been to Cape May before, but just heard, you know, this is a community that embraces its history. And the woman in particular who I was speaking with and had dinner with, her daughter, she wanted her daughter to see this. People have driven here from Texas to see the museum before it opened because they wanted their children to see it. It's just, it's amazing. Remarkable.
The timing couldn't be better as far as, you know, what America is experiencing right now and opening their minds to different cultures and histories and viewing them in new ways and new exciting ways. And this is a really new and exciting opportunity, I think, for people at such a time as this. So the HarrietTubmanMuseum.org, you can go there, you can learn about it, you can plan your trip. I want to thank both Linda and Cynthia for joining me today on the Escape to the Jersey Cape podcast, and I'm sure you'll be very excited for somebody to walk up one day, knock on the door, and say, I heard about you guys on the podcast, and I had to come.
Yes, we would love that. Absolutely. Yes, we would love that.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who was listening. Have a great day.